Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be what? Angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Now, there are many things that we struggle in the Christian life that we perhaps have got a grip on. We have received victory over, and we perhaps don't struggle with it anymore. And there are other things that take time to get victory over. We learn and we grow. They meet us over and over again. We think we've got victory, but then it comes back and haunts us, so to speak. But there are others that we could perhaps never really get victory in a sense where it would be following us to the rest of our lives. It would be there, and we have to try to deal with it and keep our heart with all diligence. And I believe many of these sins would be emotional sin, or in sins of the spirit. Okay, none of us here, I don't think, will struggle with drugs. We said we're done with it. Drinking, we're done with it. Adultery, no, we wouldn't even think about it. Although we still need to be aware of those things, but you understand what I'm talking about. But there are other things that we're trying to get a hold of, and we're trying to get victory over. And when we think we have it, then we fall into it and think, oh no, lost my temper, got frustrated, or whatever it is. The emotions start stirring up again, and then we find ourselves struggling in our spirit. In the Bible, we're told to hold on to certain things. One of them is instruction. The Bible says, hold to instruction, don't let it go. Another one is good things, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Another one is the profession of our faith, Hebrews 10, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Timothy says, hold fast the form of sound words. He also says in Timothy, holding forth the word of life. There are some things that the Bible says we ought to hold on to, okay, retain, keep. But there are other things that we ought not to hold on to, and one of them is grudges, holding grudges. Anger, I believe, is one of the fruits malice as well, that is simply making its home in our hearts, and then we have a grudge towards somebody. And so there's nothing wrong with holding good things, but there's the Bible says that we ought not to hold grudges. You read from Genesis all the way through the Bible, and the Bible's very clear that he doesn't want us to hold grudges. It's easy to hold a grudge, okay? It's very easy to hold a grudge. I want to point out several things tonight. What are the cause or the reason to why a person holds a grudge? How's it born? How's it born? Anyone can help me tonight. Okay, through contention. Offenses. Okay, good. You're being offended. Someone's trespassed against you, violated you, defiled you, hurt you, and therefore there's maybe contention now in the heart, and there's anger, there's malice starting to boil in the heart. Yes. Pride, yes, pride. But, what causes that pride? What causes anger? It's the offences. It's the hurt, okay? And the Bible's clear in Proverbs 18, verse 19. Listen carefully. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Wow. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now think on that for a moment. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, a fortified city, a city that is guarded well. It's strong in its defense, yet can be taken easier than a person that is holding a grudge. Think about that. Hate. Oh, very good. Okay, very good. That's another thing that it causes. Grudging in my heart is born of offenses. And then anger, malice, hate starts to pride, fester. Yeah, bitterness starts to spring up. Yeah. And so therefore the bars of the castle, they get stronger and stronger. There's no way you're breaking through this. Oh, I'm just so angry. I'm so upset. And you may not say those words, but your actions are exhibiting it. So we see being hurt or being offended will simply cause grudges in our hearts. Remember, I want what the disciples said, went to Jesus, they said, teach us to what? Pray, like John taught his disciples. And there in that prayer, the list of the Lord, the pattern prayer that we ought to follow, we see this, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is what? Indebted to us. Why is that included in the patterned prayer, the common prayer that you and I must pray and need to pray? Because it's this, because it's common. It's common. Offenses will come. You will get hurt one way or another. You'll do the hurting and you'll get hurt. Someone will hurt you and you'll hurt somebody. To the extent of that hurt depends on the situation. Some people are hurt more easy than others. Just depends about their spiritual temperature. Just depends how close they are with the Lord. Just depends if they are sharing with the sufferings of Christ. What is the root of holding a grudge? What's the root of it? I mean, why can't I let this grudge go? What's the root of that? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. It's rooted down more and more when I don't come to a point where I'm actually forgiving, because true forgiveness lets or puts away anger, wrath, malice, blasphemies, filthy communication. This is Colossians 3:8. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. I wish I can develop this, but I've got to keep moving. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The only way to release, if you will, the grudge is to have true forgiveness. But the reason why the grudge is still there, the offense is not taken care of, is because of the lack of forgiveness to another person. Like what William MacDonald says regarding forgiveness, he says, forgiveness is a readiness to pardon offences, to overlook personal wrongs against oneself, and to harbour no desire for, look at this, retaliation. No, I'm not going to harbour any kind of revenge, any kind of conniving, manipulation, any kind of planning of how I'm going to get back and how I'm going to simply save face and how I'm going to get out of this. It's just, no. And so the question, how do we know if we haven't truly forgiven? How do we know? What's the what's the identification? I mean, we can say, no, I forgive you, but deep down it's still there and it's festering and it's boiling, but you know, out of our mouth, I forgive you. Now, I understand there's two kinds of forgiveness. There's God's forgiveness and there's man's forgiveness, and what we want to look for is God's forgiveness. Man's forgiveness does not let it go. Just brings it back to the surface again. Somehow in your heart, in your mind, and you keep pondering upon it, you just don't forget it. And it's as hard to let go and try to, let the hurt, lay aside. It's difficult when you're hurt. But not with the grace of God. God can give you grace, overwhelming grace. Overwhelming grace that can cancel all those things. You know, so many people live their lives years on end holding a grudge. Now, this is another test. You walk around, can you honestly look at that person that you have a grudge against and really look at that person and have nothing there? Or there's something there and you know it. When you look at that person, yeah, hi, bro, hey, and you, but there's something there, and you know there's something there, and you haven't let it go. If you're walking with God, He'll let you know there's still something there. Because if you're not walking with God and you're not walking in the Spirit, you become a mastermind of manipulation and fake and double-tongued and a hypocrite, and you'll do it well, and you'll become an expert at it. But that's good that you know that there's something there. God is dealing with your heart. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's saying, okay, there's something there. I need to go and deal with it. And so, how do you know that we haven't really forgiven? Okay, when you murmur and when you grumble. You may not do it verbally, but in your heart, you're just... And that's when you continue to think on the hurt, think on the offense. Isn't it funny that we forget so easily the things that people do for us that are good? We forget it like that, but it only takes one little thing to cancel all the good that they've done in our lives, and we just remember that. We take it to bed. We wake up with it. We go everywhere. We shop with it. We work with it. Someone, what did you say? Because you're still thinking on it. That's it. Let's be honest. It doesn't matter how big the grudge is. It can be as little as it can be. It's still there. You've got to deal with it. In the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s, George Washington Carver was refused admission to a university because he was black. And later on, as the years passed, they brought it back to his memory and they said, which university was it that refused you? And he says, it doesn't matter now. You want to talk about it. You can go on and on and on and on about something and take it to your grave. But who's really suffering? So what's the ramification to holding grudges? What are the results? Well, number one, severed relationships. Proverbs 17, verse 9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Repeating a matter over and over and over and over. Listen, we're talking about best friends could be separated. We're talking about even husband and wives. We're talking about close friends could be separated when you constantly bring up something to someone's memory that ought to be forgotten, ought to be forgiven and buried, yet you raise the dead. And you just talk about it. You just bring it up again. But it's already dealt with. So why does it come back up again? You know, when you raise the dead, you know, when you talk about certain things again, you know what's going to creep up in your heart? Oh, here we go. You're going to think about the hurt and the offenses that have taken place, and you're going to go through the whole ringer again. The whole ringer again. Holding grudges not only severs relationships, but they paralyze a person. They paralyze people. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Who can bear a wounded spirit? I mean, you can't think right. You can't eat right. You can't sleep right. You can't. It just paralyzes you. You can't walk with God in a way that is pleasant. You have a distorted walk with God. Your decision-making is blurred. You can't make proper decisions. Your sleep is interrupted. Your appetite is suppressed. Why? Because you're just holding the grudge. They're the ramifications. Bitterness springing up. Because you can't just let it go. So what's the remedy? The remedy for holding grudges. Is there a remedy? Absolutely. There is. There's a cure, thank God. First of all, it's confession and prayer. Have a look at James chapter 5, verse 16, quickly. James chapter 5, verse 16. It's amazing when you keep something in your heart and you don't confess it and you don't let it go. You don't even pray about it. You don't even pray for help. You don't even pray for the other person that you have. It's amazing what it can actually do to you. But there's a cure and there's a remedy for it. And if you don't follow these biblical principles, you will continue to be paralyzed. If you don't face the, like they say, the music, you'll be finished. I remember someone called me up. It was actually a missionary. Unknowns to me, he said, I want you to forgive me. I said, forgive you for what? He goes, I want you to forgive me. I've been bitter against you. And we're talking about years. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking in one sense, how can you be a missionary in a foreign country and have bitterness in your heart? Man, that would have been distasteful. But anyway, that was going through my mind because I'd go crazy. But everybody's different. People deal with things differently, and we need to deal with things biblically. And I said, what's wrong? He goes, I was bitter against you, and I want to say, I'm sorry. I didn't even know that he was bitter against me, but he confessed it. He says, what you did and how you exposed my father came out to be true. And you're right, and I'm sorry. Many years ago, I had to make a big decision, and I knew it would have cost me even more friends. But God laid it right before me, and I had to deal with it. And by the way, I keep saying to the Lord, why me? Why do you show me these things? Why do you show someone else these things? I keep thinking maybe someone else is looking, but they're not speaking. His own son refused to have anything to do with him because he has violated more than just biblical principles. He has violated God and people. But he confessed it. I said, mate, I forgive you. I started crying. I didn't know he had a grudge or anything against me. Mate, it's a beautiful sight, but I didn't know that, you know. Confession is good. Praying is, look at this, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be what? Healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, the best thing that you could do is confess your faults one to the other. I have wronged you, and I'm sorry, and I've wronged you too. I'm sorry, husbands and wife. You know, you need to do this. And you pray for one another. The best thing that you can ever do if you have any kind of grudge against anybody is pray for them and pray for yourself. God, help me deal with this correctly. God, help me to not be offended and hurt because of this. Forgiveness is the second, motivated by the love of Christ. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put far from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When you understand how much you have been forgiven, it will become easier to be able to forgive someone else. When you understand the love, and we all speak about the love of God, right? And so we should. But how about channeling that love to somebody else? Sometimes it's selfish, folks. We want God's love. We want God's forgiveness. We want God's mercy. Well, how about you channel that to someone else? Because that's what God wants you to do. And that means I'm not going to remember that. I'm not going to even think about that. And when I do, and if it comes up again, I'm just going to lay it aside and I'm going to cry out to God and I'm going to ask God to help me. And by the way, you ought to be thinking about other things. When you pray for people, when you pray for souls, when your heart is engaged in the work of God and you're not thinking about yourself, you won't be thinking about how many times you've been hurt. You'll be hurt and you don't even know you're hurt. Someone says something that might be offensive, you don't even recognize it. You don't even know. But people are so sensitive because they're so selfish, I'm sorry, and they're constantly thinking about self. How they offended me. How dare they? They said something. They didn't say something. They didn't say hello. They didn't say goodbye. That's foolish. But that's what happens. Proverbs 10 verse 20, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. William MacDonald said, these faults and failures must of course be confessed and forsaken, but love does not gossip about them nor keep the pot boiling. Brethren, let me just say this in closing. I'm running out of time, but let me just say this. There are some offenses and faults that take place that we should not make a big deal out of them. As a matter of fact, we can, you know, bring something to someone's attention and then it becomes a big deal. There are some things that we can be discreet. And yes, okay, someone said something hurtful. Someone laughed at me. Someone did something. They've trespassed. But it's not worthy to go up to that person. By the way, if you were that sensitive, you know, then you're going to have to go up to a whole heap of people. Because every single one of us have secret sins and blind spots that God is working on us. And these ought to be overlooked. It's not condoning sin. It's not kind of trying to, you know, fan the flames of, you know, something in their life. If you want to bring it to their attention, bring it for their help. but not, you know, not because you're hurt. How dare you offend me? If you want to help them, I think that's a better way to approach somebody. I think that would be better. Not how dare you, you know, you did this to me. Now, there are offenses and trespasses that you need to go to your brother. And the Bible says, makes it very clear. I'm not undermining that. I'm talking about in the context of what I'm saying here tonight. There are some things that we just need to zip it and just deal with it. Just deal with it. You say, how? You just go to the Lord. We just need to be patient with people. Patient. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9, be not hasty in the spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. Don't be hasty. Don't just, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7. Have a look. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 7 and verse 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. Why? Not just any kind of charity. Look, boiling point, fervent, hot charity. Not just kind of just casual charity. No. Fervent, boiling, hot kind of love. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I just walk around with love and it's okay. Just like waters off a duck's back. It's all right. I'm going to love them to death. They're growing. They're young. Yeah. I remember seeing one person, just a young Christian. It's still, you know, time to mature. Just, hey, listen, we need to understand where people are. And we're going to be offended at where, you know, no, we have to love people, meet them where they're at, like Paul the Apostle did, become all things. The Bible is very clear. He that winneth souls is wise. It's not only soul winning people to the Lord, but it's actually knowing how to relate to people, love people, help them grow, meet them where they're at, and not trying to make something, you know, an issue every time. Not nitpicking on everything. This is the whole point of having the proverb with that, the man that lives with a woman that's always nitpicking and contentious. He rather live in the wilderness, or he rather live in the corner of a rooftop, because it's just overbearing. And you can be overbearing, brethren. And you may not be overbearing in the life of other people, but you can be overbearing in your heart. To your own self, you can just poison yourself. It's, you know, malice, anger, hatred, contention, all brewing because of the offense. Holding grudges is a dose of destruction. That's all. It's just, you're going to self-destruct. Now, you don't get ulcers, you know, because of, you know, stress and all this. Ulcers sometimes are inherited, but, you know, you can get just spiritual ulcers because of holding grudges. And so what's the cure? Just overlook. Look, I love this proverb. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Look at this. I love this proverb. What a contrast between Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. But look at Proverbs 19, verse 11. Look at this. The discretion of a man deferreth his what? Yeah. The wisdom of God. Oh, you know, I encourage you, drink the Proverbs. That's the mind of God right there. I mean, we have a king that is asking for God's mind, and God gave it to him. Well, honestly, you'll be doing a lot of hurt if you don't just live in the Proverbs amongst your Bible reading. Just drink. It's God's wisdom. Drink. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over what? His glory. To pass it over. Are you advocating for sin? Far from it. It's not worthy to bring it up. And that also takes wisdom. Amen. What's worthy to bring up something and what's not worthy to bring up something? And in the light is this, you know, I believe this is something that we need wisdom from God and the Holy Spirit to know how to, okay, I'm going to defer my anger. I got a right perhaps to be angry. That person has trespassed against me, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. And that's love. And that love that comes from God through the Spirit covers a multitude of sins. A multitude. Two more verses and we're done. have a look at Leviticus. No, I'll just read it out. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. I am the Lord Almighty Jehovah God. Don't bear any grudges. The Old Testament saints, just as good as the New Testament saints. Doesn't matter if you're an Old Testament saint or a New Testament saint, God doesn't want you to hold any grudges. James 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. That ought to be sobering. If we practice the presence of God all the days of our life, knowing that he's standing at the door, he's coming any moment, that ought to be sobering. I don't know about you, but I don't want to die holding grudges. That'll be an awful way to go. Amen. And what a great motivation. We can't afford to live our Christian life holding grudges. We can't afford to. It hinders our walk with God. It hinders our work for God. Listen, and it hinders our worship to God. And we can't afford to do that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, let's go back to our main passage. We'll read a few verses prior and after that main verse and we'll close. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Oh, the good old days. We're not living in the good old days. We're living here and now, looking forward. A lot of people want to live in the past. And I believe living in the past can be dangerous. Let the past be the past. You have sinned, it's under the blood. You're truly forgiven, you've truly asked God for forgiveness, it's under the blood. We got to learn how to forgive like God forgives. And the reason sometimes we can't let it go because we can't forgive like he forgives. And then if we've had success in the past, say, praise God, God has delivered me from the past and he's given me victory in the present. But I need to maintain that in this area of sins of the spirit, because listen, he can come at any time. I'm telling you, and you, when it comes, you need to know how to deal with it. Don't take it with you to sleep. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Deal with it biblically. The remedy, the cure. The cure for what? Not holding grudges. Amen? Amen? Not holding grudges. And I pray that you would have a confessing spirit to God when you do, a praying spirit and a forgiving spirit. Let's pray.